welcome everybody to Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. You've got a wonderful show this Tuesday, August 11th. I am Miguel Colon Jr. I'm the 2016 Monsters of the Morning Comedian of the Year, and I'm joined in studio with some of the funniest comics I know. With us today, as always, Mr. Mike Herlihy. What's up, Mike?
Hey, man. Doing great. How about you? What's going on?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm loving the Fozzie in the background. It just reminds me of my... like. If you guys can't see, if you're only listening, Mike Herlihy has this like great bookshelf behind him, and he's got this Fozzie standing there. And I remember Fozzie, for me, that was like one of my first like introductions to comedy. And it's horrible because he's a hack, you know?
Yeah.
I see. That's where I disagree. I think the thing I loved about Fozzie, he wasn't a hack. If he had stole material, he would have been funnier. But instead, he just comes up with his own stuff that's terrible. But he never let it stop him. He could go out and get five tomatoes to the face and still be like, last week I got six. I'm doing better.
You hear that? You hear that? Open mic comics. Mike Herlihy, he says, keep swinging for the fences. And you know who's going to give you the opposite advice of that? My man, the godfather of comedy himself, Mr. Ken Miller.
Yeah, man, true. I broke my rule this weekend, bro.
You talk shop for the comedy?
I was giving comedy advice, man.
What kind of advice were you giving?
Man, I was talking to the young cats about, you know, how we had it back in the day, while it really wasn't that many open mics, and all the great headliners we came up under that took me on the road, and I took a piece of every comic as I came up, and I felt bad for a lot of them because they don't have that structure that I had. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, me and James, people might consider me and James a lot of peers now, but when I started, I had to go watch James to learn how to host. You know what I'm saying? I had to go out and watch Miss Hope, Tight Mike, Dean Napolitano. Then I got road experience going with Pat Garrity and Ricky Ray. So I had all of this, and I just feel bad now because a lot of comics that are in our area don't have that mentorship we had.
Yeah. Now coming out of the cave, hey, watch for the torch. Yeah. Too old as hell.
And I think another thing I feel bad for about that is that a lot of comics now think they're going to be famous and aren't trying to be just funny and good. You know,
yeah.
I think there's a falsehood that you're going to be famous, and not everybody can be famous and be on terrestrial radio and have a TV show like Mr. James Yawn.
Yeah.
Oh, in studio as always.
Said it once before, I'll say it again. I sound great on paper. Yeah. I look amazing on paper.
On paper, I'm like, I can't believe we got this guy to do this show. And then in real life, I'm like, I get it. He gets away from the family for that.
Yeah, right.
You know who else is on paper? My puppy, because much like you, he on everything.
There you go. Damn.
Sometimes I think James lies to Michelle and the kids, and he's like, you know, Real Laughs on 7 nights a week, plus five afternoon shows we got to do, and then that live show from Andretti's, and also that show we got to do at that barbecue place I like.
Yeah. Woo, it's a tough job, baby.
How come you're out at 16 shows a week, but our bank account says $0? You're like, comedy ain't cheap, baby.
You know the post office, baby.
I was going bankrupt, baby. It's
you know Trump just put his buddy in charge of the post office. We ain't gonna see mail for a year, man.
Yeah. When it comes, the stamps are gonna be gold when they come with like Trump Tower, and you scratch and sniff, and they smell like vodka. You know, like the Trump vodka. You know, talking about that, sometimes I think my dad lied about deployments, because I look at stuff and I'm like, there wasn't no war in Greece in 1984. You know?
He's just sending you bad photoshots with statues in the background holding him.
I'm like, man, we had a lot of wars in the early 80s, man.
It's rough over here. This statue lost its arm today.
Yeah. That police action in Cincinnati, you know, it was a...
Hey, where the hell was that? Your dad's like, Greece?
Yeah.
This dude,
they all agree.
No, this dude said, "What no wars in Greece in 1985, bro?"
Yeah, just getting lied to, just sending me back memorabilia that's not even Greek.
Remember that
bottle of olive oil?
You know, North and South Greece over that octopus famine that was going on.
Yeah,
yo, you on a map looking like, is that North and South Greece? What is it?
Hey, hold on real quick. This map all out of date. Where's West Korea? Oh, West Korea was a wild out. My dad said he had to go every weekend. Every weekend. Came back smelling like soju. You know?
That's so funny.
Odd map.
Shout out to Miguel's dad, bro.
Yeah, I'm like, oh man, where were you this whole time? He's like, oh, there's just so much going on in the world. And I'm looking at pictures and I'm like, it was a Coney Island battle? He's like, yeah, yes, man. That one was with Russia. You know?
a lot of wars in Vegas during my teenage years, huh? Yeah. Someone had to protect the strip. Fremont Street ain't always free.
That's how I'm gonna be when I have kids, man. I'm like doing another show at my homeboy's house. You know, we do a live podcast from there. It's called Getting Drunk and Eating Wings. It's going to take off, you know?
Yeah.
I usually wait to record with you guys when my kids are in bed. But I don't have a huge house, so I kind of feel like they're lying awake listening the way I used to lie awake listening to my parents fight. So I think they're lying in there learning more things than I know I'm letting them find out about me. You know? More importantly, they know how to work a computer now. Heck, the school, they go back to school tomorrow. And by back to school, I mean they come into the living room and sit in front of a desk. We went back to school shopping for clothes today. I just bought them shirts. That's it. I saved so much money on pants and socks. And I'm like, I'm just paying for what people's seeing. All right.
Amen. But amen.
Sometimes I got to stop and think. And James and Ken and Miguel in the future, people are going to be able to look at these shows. And my kids are going to be able to call me out on all of this someday.
All of this. Yes, right.
I've already laid the groundwork of it's entertainment, guys.
Yeah. But you know what? Kids are smarter than we give them credit for, because my kids are going back to school too. And I don't know if you heard, Mike, some schools are saying that we still have to buy uniforms. They're going to be actually monitoring Zoom to make sure kids are dressed right. My kids are like, yeah, all right, we got this, Dad. You know, on Zoom, Ken, you can put a background in the back, right? Uh-huh. So kids have already figured out how to hack it. Well, they took a screenshot of themselves standing here like this, mm-hmm. and like paying attention, and they just leave. They don't even go to school.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, I actually had something from
a slow clap right there.
I actually had something from school district saying that because a lot of kids don't feel comfortable with their surroundings, they felt like it would cause, I don't want to say differences, but some kids don't want their house seen because of their living condition and everything else, that it's okay to put up an emoji of yourself or something like that. One of my kids doesn't even want to be on video. He's like shy. So, and I can get that. And then at another level, they said, don't put your kids on video because we can't guarantee none of this isn't getting hacked. And there's not some guy out there. Yeah. So there's so much security for these kids. Like, you basically sign in and the teachers are struggling to find a way to proof that the kids are actually there watching and participating, you know?
You know, you sign in real quick and you see somebody with like a VR headset and a zapper gun, you're like, oh no, shooter. You know?
we did a story on the Lowdown right when this all started, when kids were doing stuff from school. The mom was downstairs and she had set up an iPad upstairs to watch and make sure her kid was on the computer. That kid took his computer screen, took a picture of him on a computer, lined it up with the iPad, like all Ocean's 11. So she's sitting there watching for a while going, he hasn't moved in a while. She goes up, sees the iPad and the laptop facing each other. He's playing with his Legos on the floor. He's been at it for like an hour.
I love it, man. I want to know how you do a substitute now, too. Like, how are you going to say, oh, I can't come to work, I'm sick? Yeah, you can. Get on,
You're just like far and away from home. You're like, it's movie day.
You're like, I couldn't find some, you know, I couldn't come to work today. I needed a substitute. And I just got some chick from OnlyFans, you know? Just sitting there watching the class, like, so, like, what, you guys want to watch me, like, lotion my legs or eat a banana or something? I don't know what I can do with kids.
That's a good point, Miguel.
Like and share.
What's the over-under on these teachers not going back into their fall job right away and getting their OnlyFans and their teaching account mixed up? Because you know they've been earning over the summer, too.
Oh, you know, somebody mixed it up already. They've done it in, like, a Zoom meeting, and they came in, and there's their whole office there, and they're just popped in, and they got nothing but tassels on, and they got a popsicle, and they're like, oh, my God. Yeah. And their biggest thing that they got worried about was, I just spent the last 30 minutes telling my OnlyFans about Synergy and how we're going to work new this year.
Miss Preston, what's that in the background? Oh, that's a test tube, but you're not a biology you don't have chemistry. How come there's smoke coming out of it?
Why is it glowing?
Because it's letting me know I gotta wash it. You know, like, the best part, Mike, is we knew how many people were teachers and bartenders back in our day. You know, there's going to be somebody like, hey, okay, class, working the lunch shift. Like, real quick, I need you to work on algebra. I'm going to get it, Vinny. Table 7's going to get it. Just give me a goddamn moment. I'm going to get it.
My seventh grade science teacher would actually work at TGI Fridays during the summer. So she would come up to the table and I'd be there with my family. And she's like, oh, hey, Mike, have you done your homework or your summer project? I'm like, can you just make with the potato skins already?
You better watch out the way you're talking to me, bitch, or I'll get your manager over here.
This ain't parent teacher.
And now you're on a first name basis because you got a name tag. Okay, Gladys.
Yeah, that's a great parent-teacher conference, though. Hey, I need to talk to you about your kid. If you can come in and ask for Renee and sit in my section, I'm going to need to order some stuff, too.
Really, Renee, you say my son's going to be. I say you're getting 8%. Let's see if we can negotiate.
Well, Mr. Early, we can teach your son some better math right now. Hey, Oliver, what's 20% of a $60 check? Because your dad needs to show the work, too. You know?
I ain't doing all that. No.
That's funny. That is hilarious, man.
Do you guys, I mean, real talk, guys, are you concerned with this year for your kids?
Nah, like, my kids doing virtual. Seminole County's already, you know, I actually been working on a joke for it that hasn't been going too well, but I'm going to keep working it. But I was saying how I don't mind homeschooling my kid because my daughter 14 and I just went ahead and gave her a college degree.
Yeah. I mean, technically now everyone's a teacher.
Hey, my telling my daughter, I just made up a degree, James. My daughter got a PhD in YouTubing. Yeah.
Dude, at the Yon High School, bro, we have liberal policy on that.
I'm sure I got it from one of those mainstream news sources, so it's probably made up and fake. But out of all the schools that have opened, they said there's already 200,000 more across the country confirmed cases from COVID from people going to school.
And I'm going to say this, the old-ass lunch lady ain't coming to work.
Yeah, did you see that picture in Georgia the kid took? He got I know it was a girl, boy. I didn't see the whole story. But
the student,
The student took a picture and then posted it and got suspended because the picture went viral and like 20 of those people tested positive for like COVID.
It was a ton of kids. You know, during class, the bell rings and everybody goes into the hall, right?
Yeah. Well, how else they gonna get to class?
You would think they would have planned to stagger, release this class on this side. Not the way it went. It was just like a cattle, you know, cattle going through the hallway. But also a ton of them weren't wearing masks or anything. Yeah. And the school district basically said, oh, well, that's to be expected. There's no way around this. And they suspended the kid who took a picture for a violation of the policy of using social media during the day. What about those 30 kids who violated regular policy of not wearing a mask? And they reversed the suspension. But yeah, like Ken said, like 20 of those kids tested positive.
Don't reverse the suspension. I don't want to be there.
Suspend me because I want to live.
You suspended me. Cool. Can we keep this going all year? Because I just talked to the head of my school district, who's my mama, because we homeschool now. And she said straight up, man, that this is a violation of my don't come back home with COVID.
My bad, not to cut you off. I don't want us to be fake news. 9 people tested positive.
Okay. Because the other 10 kids didn't get tested.
Yeah, no, they sent 250 students and staff home for quarantine. But 9 actually tested positive. I don't want anybody being in the comments and fake news.
But real quick, though, why would we even send our kid there? Why would we even do that?
Man. They don't even got like schools used to have metal detectors. Now they just got thermometers and Lysol. Like the school cop just runs around with Lysol. Like he got his
grandkids, yo.
That's kind of how I felt. I like how many school shootings? We still can't get metal detectors, but you thought in 2 months you were going to have everything you need for this? You can't find a gun, but you're going to find COVID? Get out of here.
Yeah, they're like, it's not made of metal, Mike. It's easier. Hey, guys, we got to go to break. But when we come back, I want to talk to you about my new pen pal. You're listening to Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. Welcome Welcome back to Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. I am your host, Miguel Colon Jr. As always, you can listen to our show on iTunes, on Spotify, and on SoundCloud. And I'm joined in virtual studio with my good friends, fellow traveling comedians, the godfather of comedy himself, Mr. Ken Miller, the man on paper killing it.
James Yawn.
Got it going. Damn.
I'm a paper champ.
If there was a comedy scout
champ, bro,
looking at your stuff right now, he'd be like, how is this guy not signed?
You are the paper champ, baby.
Paper champion, baby.
What's Rocky Five? Who was it?
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah, bro. Paper champ, baby.
I didn't hear no bell.
One more round.
Way different too. It wouldn't have been out of here. No bell. Be like,
I love the way the hear bells. I can get my tomato sauce recipe.
That one night I let me, you, and Adrian and the robot had that thing. Paulie videotaped it and took Polaroids, and now you do this to me.
Yo, the dude that played
King knockoff.
Yeah, what in the hell?
Touch me and I'll
hit me and I'll stoop.
Touch me and I'll stoop.
Where you gonna sue me for?
Yo, Rocky has some of the best quotables, B.
Yeah.
Rocky had the best quotable
is it Rocky 3? When he's like ding ding. When they about to fight him out of here, bell. Ding, ding, ding.
No, but I tell you this, everybody loves the Rocky, the Rocky, like, hard speeches that he gives. Mm-hmm. Like, you're always like, with it, like, every man has a little tear in his eye. Like, when he's with Antonio Tarver. Yeah, the one with Antonio Tarver, I think that's Balboa, when he's telling his son.
Yeah.
And he's just giving him, he's like, the only enemy you're ever going to fight is you.
You,
like,
not you, not me, not anyone hits harder than life.
Life.
Going to knock you to the ground.
And you're going to
How many times you can get back up?
Yeah, like he did that. He did his speech.
How many times you get hit? It's how hard you get hit and keep moving forward.
No lie. There's a YouTube video with that, and then Al Pacino from Any Given Sunday. It's basically like all the men quotes you've ever wanted to hear. And if you didn't have a dad, I recommend anybody with that just watch Bronx Tale and listen to that a couple times, and you'll grow up fine.
Brother, that's what raised me.
That's what all white comics listen to along with Eminem's 8 Mile soundtrack before we go on stage.
Yeah, but they skip you Lose Yourself because it's too hard for them. They just go to the other, they're like, I'm sorry, mama.
Mom's spaghetti. Okay.
Hey, how come all white comics have issues with their, like, moms? Like, black comics, or excuse me, all white comics, rappers. Black rappers is all mama, mama, mama. Latino rappers is halfway mama. But all white rappers are like, I hate you, mama.
Yeah,
I hate you.
Yeah, because Bubba Fox said, "I said my mama." I think I love her. Won't? Yeah, Bubba Fox is mom.
No, I hate you, Karen. Don't even call her mom. I hate you, Karen.
Never let me do anything, and then start hanging out with black guys. And I was like, "Why did I hang out with them all the time?"
Well, I like to complain about my father, but I never met the guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then I like when rappers complain about stuff. And you're like, that's sometimes you listen to rap, and I'm like, I'm gonna have to street check you because your life almost sounds way too hard.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I listen to rappers, and he's like, and then my mother never hugged me, and she never fed me, and we didn't live in a house. I'm like, hold on, bro.
What was JB Ball's been putting out some great videos lately, but what was the one where disrespect video he put out?
Yeah.
Where he's like, he's basically breaking down rap, and he's like, yeah. That's disrespectful.
I did
joke about Kenny being a rapper and how he talks about tough life. And I'm like, dude, you got two great houses.
Yeah.
He went to Lake Brantley. I'm like, what are you rapping this thug stuff? Like, I have a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. My wife has a 4-bedroom, 3-bath. This kid talk about thug life and guns, and I'm like, boy,
well, you might have a 4-bedroom. You might have a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, but you don't have a long ass yard. No,
Ken,
just a long narrow yard.
You know what's so funny about that?
You ain't living right.
I think me and you are the same. Where our kids, unlike us, never been to a ghetto.
never been to the hood.
So here's my story, bro.
If you want to drop him off at my house.
This is what a two-bedroom looks like. Yo,
Mike's kids be crib walking. Like,
hey, Mike. Well, that's because one of my kids is mine. So,
yeah.
He
ain't
bro.
Funny. You always running late.
He be bombing at the improv.
Just smoking food outside all day long.
He's got a little Play-Doh grill. He's just out there with a real grate.
He got a Fisher Price call center job, and he's just out there.
Yo. This dude said he just be bombing, yo. Yo, but I gotta tell you, hey, asked Junior tell you this story. I took my kids home, right? And it had been a while since I came home. Took them to the hood. And I said, I'm gonna take y'all the way I grew up at. A thug, baby. And they done tore it down and built new houses.
Gentrification, baby. Gentrification. Yeah, man.
No. They're still low income. They tore the bad buildings down and put up like houses.
Yeah, like low rises and stuff. Yeah.
It's still a project, but they're like single family homes. And I'm like, I'm gonna take you to another hood I grew up in. I go there. They've repainted. They got parks and rec center. I said, man, you know what? I'm just gonna shoot somebody right now. Like your daddy live, B. Junior tells everybody that stuff, like, man, dad, remember you took us home to show us your hood and it wasn't hood no more? I was like, man, shut your ass up.
It can't be the hood, Ken, when they got a Starbucks there now. Yeah, you know what ain't hood no more.
Forget that. Try talking to people now about like Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm like, my family was like the first Spanish family, the first Latino family in that neighborhood to own a building. It was all Polish, Jewish, and Italian in the 60s when my mom and them first moved there. Then I start, you know, when I'm over there in like the 80s and stuff, I'm like, yeah, it was rough because it's 80s New York. Everybody remembers the difference between 80s, 90s New York and then New York now. But now people, I'm like, yeah, they're like, what part of Brooklyn? And I'm like, Williamsburg, Brooklyn. They're like, oh my God, my favorite artisanal mayo shop is right there. They film girls over there. I love that place. It's so awesome.
How come I believe there's a spot that just sells different mayos?
Artisanal mayo, and they don't have a sign, and depending on how you're dressed, you can't come in. Price is set by how your facial hair looks.
Yo, it's called craft mayo.
It's not even called craft mayo. It's something written in Indian, and the guy who owns it's white. And I'm like, Bhagvagandala? He's like, you're butchering it.
I grew up in Connecticut. Our main city was Hartford, Connecticut.
Right.
And there's a street called Franklin Ave that used to be all Italian. And over the years, it became Black, Hispanic, and Italian. And my grandfather took me there once when I was a kid. He's like, you know what me and your uncle used to do for fun? We'd come down here, try to watch a white guy make it from one end of the street to the other. Never happened, you know? And I was like, so when I took my kid up there, I don't know why, but I said the same thing. I'm like, you know, back in the day, you would watch a white guy try to make it from this end of the block to the other. My kid is just so naive of all that stuff. Like, why wouldn't he take a bus?
Because white people aren't allowed on the bus.
Yeah, if there's a reputation. Why that makes sense.
Dude, I'm talking to guys. I've sat the last time I was out outside of the – like, my grandmother's building was our family hub. You know, like, this building was always a part of the family. And, like, the last time I sat out there, there's no lie, I was just like, where am I anymore? There's, like, one of those guys in that old-timey big-wheel bicycle, just cruising around, and there's just so many young hipsters. And I was like, and that's the thing, that here's the gentrification army. Here's how it comes in. This is how it used to work. First, the gays would come in because they were being pushed and ostracized out of places, and they were coming in as refugees. So gays would come into hood neighborhoods and stuff as refugees because they were treated poorly. So they'd come in there and they would spruce it up. Well, when the gays spruced it up, then the like rich white kids were like, whoa, look what they did to it. So then their army would come in. And
come
then
on, man. You know how gays bring in other white people.
Gay people never moved into a neighborhood and were like, oh, cool. We'll just get ostracized and pushed to a corner. We'll make it beautiful. And then the people who ostracize us will come in and take it from us. And I'm like, I feel you, gay dude. Also, you kind of did that to us, but okay. You know? But you still got enemies out there, so you are welcome. But like when you see a gentrified neighborhood, like I live in the most – Thornton Park was gentrified long before I got here.
Yeah, it was.
this is like, you know, the epicenter. This is like where they train white people to take over neighborhoods.
If anything, like, you're trying to take it back.
I'm just here as a diversity hire. They're like, let him have one house in there so we can be like, see, we spruced it up and throw a Mexican in. I'm like, I'm Puerto Rican. They're like, it's better to say Mexican.
Give him the long yard.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this, but I think it's true. You go to a gentrified neighborhood, and there's people who believe in it, who don't. But when you go to a gentrified neighborhood, you find some really good mom and pop places to like get good food and stuff.
You find places that have always been there that now gentrified themselves and charge $8 more than they used to charge.
Yes, yes.
Because you know when you have you ever been to a taco stand like here, and you're like $4 a taco.
Yeah,
man, the fresh, authentic street tacos. You're like, I go to the Home Depot down the road. It's the same dude. I'm buying him for $2 a taco. Sometimes he throws a free one in, and he's over in this new neighborhood. Yeah. Like you messing it up.
Yeah exactly.
Dude, when I was in Colombia, when I was in Medellin, we bought street tacos from a guy. We were all in line, and I was the first person in line. And I ordered my tacos, and no lie, for me, they were like, I think it was like 300 pesos, something real small, something that came out to like a dollar something. And by the time I moved to side, they got to Busey and Joe, and they were like 800 pesos a taco.
Wow.
That must be the price.
Hey, sweetie, you hungry? What do you want? I want Thornton Park tacos, but at OBT prices.
Yes.
So you wanted to come with a hep shot. Nice.
Yeah,
there's two things with the whole, the little mom and pop. Another one, I took my kids home in downtown Greensboro, Martin Luther King, because you know Martin Luther King is bad. Yeah. It wasn't a spot white people live. And then I came home and white people were jogging and condos and everything. And they got a place called Dame's Chicken and Waffles, which my son, every time we go home, he's like, Dad, we're going to Dame's. And I was telling him, man, this area used to be a church's chicken. And like, man, your uncle got shot here. Your uncle got shot here. Your uncle's got, we get shot here. Matter of fact, I want you to get shot here.
You're like, the dude who shot your uncle got shot here.
Man, can we get this Dave's and get the hell out of here?
Junior, it's nothing personal. I just always had this image of me being here in black crying over a photo of you on the corner.
And Junior's sitting there twisting his little hair with his little proper voice. He's like, are we getting chicken or not, Dad? I mean,
when Tony Rock was on the Monsters, me and him were talking about Brooklyn, and we're talking about Williamsburg, and Tony Rock was like, man, he's like, in the 80s, he's like, Williamsburg is where the mob used to dump their bodies because nobody would go there. He goes, now if they tried to do that, they'd have to interrupt a drum circle and a starlight skate, you know? He's like, dropping the body out, and somebody would just be painting it like,
this dude said a drum circle, B. I'm done with the show.
Oh, man.
That's so funny.
Times have changed, man. I think of the Biggie song when he's like, back in the day. And times have changed. And there's, you know, before we leave for this segment, I will say this. Gentrification has brought some things that I hate. But I can tell you this much. When my grandmother was living in that neighborhood, the only thing that I hated about it when it was gentrified and it wasn't a community anymore, she didn't know the same people. But I didn't feel as worried for her as when it was a neighborhood that had more crime. You know?
And so like,
that's sad. When it was our neighborhood, I felt safer for my grandmother because my grandmother had lived there for 40-something years. And then, and you know the rule in the hood. You ain't mess with the old people.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
Or kids.
Or kids. I don't know. I shoot a kid. But
anyway. dogs. Hey, I'll say this one. One thing that's changed is like.
Because
the hood never had no care for dogs like people do for now. Dogs were just like, barking.
Dogs were outside.
Yeah.
Not inside. They were
dogs
outside.
Dogs could be your enemy. Hey, guys, we got to go to commercial break, man. But when we come back, we're talking about my pen pal, and we're going to talk about some things going on, changing, and how you enjoy entertainment. You listen to Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. All right, guys, welcome back to Real Laughs on Real Radio 104.1. 104.1. We are de-gentrifying 104.1. We really are. We really are. We moved in. We have the Section 8 housing of the
we
are. Lineup.
What's the we them neighbors. We them neighbors.
Thing,
like, ooh.
Hey, what's the thing Michael Jackson had?
Vitiligo, yeah.
Yeah, we reverse Vitiligo in the radio station.
Oh, yeah, because I'm going to tell you this, too. If anybody thinks Mike Hurley is like the white guy on the show. No, y'all need to know more about Mike Hurley. He's the wrong guy. Mike Hurley ain't got no white privilege.
Mike told us fight stories, bro. Nah, yeah.
I'm just the guy that signed the lease while you guys stayed in the car. You're paying rent, but I'm on the lease.
You're the friend that could talk better than the rest of us. He wasn't drunk, but really, he did the whole time talking to the landlord. He was tripping acid.
I'm only good for face to face. James on the phone is whiter than I can ever be.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's true. I speak great interview. Yeah.
I love after the shows when people come up to you and go, "You are so well spoken." I'm like, when is that never not going to be?
And that happens, Mike. It's the truth. They
I want you to go
that.
Into your Southern poor boy like voice, like, "Well, shucks, ma'am, thank you so much." Grown up on the farm with one pair of overalls.
I was the first ones. To
I watched Lawrence Welk
family.
Every week, just thinking if I could talk purdy like the white folk.
we're like the Voltron of getting by. Put us all together, we could equal one white person. we've got Mike Hurley. He's the face. James is the voice. Ken Miller's done the most research around white people, even more than Mike, because he's working on the call center, and I'm just the driver.
Oh man.
But anyways, we were talking amongst ourselves a little bit about and James, kind of lead me on this one. Movie theaters are coming back?
Yeah. Oh, well, you know me and Ken, we're one of those people that have that Regal Unlimited card. We love movies. Yeah. We go all the time. And we got a notice that the theaters are supposed to be opening back up August 21st. Now, I'm not going. I love the movies, but man, nah.
I'm not gonna pay $80 for popcorn and catch COVID to watch a movie that looks better in my house.
Bro, well, the thing is, and Ken can tell you a little bit about this, we looked up what their plan's gonna be as far as how they're gonna socially distance. And what they're doing is they're just skipping a row. And if you come with your family, you and your family sit together and they skip two seats.
Yeah.
So they're not really, that's not spaced out at all,
man. And then they get a turn for another movie and you know they're not doing like the improv spray all day. They're going to give you a can of Lysol and be like, hey, don't put your face on nothing. No?
Everybody gets a magic eraser and they tell you before you leave. Wipe the area down.
But you know, people, if you know, we talked about this, I don't know, yesterday's show about if people put the word out that they're doing the right thing and cleaning well, people will start to return.
Right, because people want to get back to life.
James hit me up, be like, man, they was coughing in there and they ain't wiping nothing down. I'm like,
no mask.
I can wait.
Everybody knows they don't clean the floor at the movie theater.
No.
And that was the easiest thing to do compared to what they're going to have to do now. Yes. So I don't trust these 17, 20-year-old kids who just working. You know, every time you at the movie theater, you always see a dude on a phone looking for another job.
Yep.
Like the dude at the movie theater is always on his phone like, hey, man, they hiring. So he's not too stoked about his current career. And the only buddy who's safe in there is the dude in the projector. And you know, he wouldn't let anybody in that projector room before. Now the projector room guy is going to be fierce about it.
That's
ain't
right.
No employees going in the projector room anymore. Doesn't matter if Mystic River broke in the middle of the scene or what. You know, nobody's going in the projector room.
Nah, I'm not going back. I don't know about you, Ken. It's going.
I'm probably
done for the year.
Yeah, and there's so much stuff that I've been watching lately that I don't even need to go to the movies. You know what
I'm
saying?
Have you guys been checking out a lot of stuff on like Netflix, Hulu?
I just finished the Watchmen TV show.
Okay, yes. I haven't watched the TV show. Fire though? Yeah. Is it fire?
It's probably, and it sucks they're not going to do a second season. It's so good to the point where like Sean was while my wife was watching it, and I would wake up and like watch it, and I ain't watching this, and then I'm like,
it's got Regina King in it, doesn't it?
Who's amazing? Who is amazing?
Regina King's been killing it since 227. Like, hey, man, seriously, like,
her career is so crazy. She went from 227. Remember, she was the hood chicken, Boys in the Hood. Girl, yeah. We messing with this. She went to, she was Craig's sister in Friday.
Friday.
Yep.
And then she, you know, she was on like Southland or something like that.
Dude, like, she's the voice of two people on Boondocks.
Yo, bro. Yeah. Which if you got HBO Max, watch Boondocks because it's uncut, uncensored.
Oh, my
hey,
God.
Don Johnson. Don Johnson's in The Watchmen, too, right?
Yes, he is.
Don Johnson got a killer career.
Yeah,
that's dope. Quick, that's dope though. To be at a place where, that's dope to be at a place in your career, though, where you can look back and be like, I've been killing it since the 80s, and I'm still getting hit up to be in roles that are huge, you know?
And she's another one, too, that's older, that's still super pretty. You know, she's gotta be 50 years old.
Yeah, Don Johnson's role in Django was my joint. I don't know if you know Django, when he was the owner of the first
plantation
they went to. Yeah. And he's like, Django's a free man. You gotta treat him differently. And the girl's like, so we gotta treat him like white people? Whoa, hold on. But I didn't say that. He's like, you know that slow boy, the one that got hit with the horseshoe, the peck of wood, who works over at the birthday? She's like, yeah, treat him like him.
Yo, that movie was great.
She's 49. Regina King's 49 years old, bro.
And God bless Regina her. King stopped aging at 30.
Yeah,
legit.
There's two Regina Kings, young Regina King and old Regina King.
I just realized she was the Aisha in Poetic Justice.
Poetic Justice,
yo, she was Chicago.
Guy Torrey's girl.
That's Regina the movie King. I met my wife at.
Really?
Yeah,
Poetic Justice. How did she get her in? It was R-rated.
She's a badass kid. I met her there. Badass kid.
Son, she's done a lot, bro.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bro, I totally forgot she was Ray. A baby!
Because basically, they would cast a hood movie or a minority movie or a black-centric cast movie, and they'd be like, okay, so who are we going to play the main chick? We know we got Regina King, right? She's in there somewhere. Maybe sometimes they're like, hey, who do you want to play shooter number two? Let me see if Regina King's free.
That's so funny.
I wonder why. I'm trying to think. Regina King was in Higher Learning. She was the roommate.
Yeah, she was.
She was in Higher Learning. Friday, Thin Line Between Love and Hate. She was the little nappy head.
Yeah.
Remember old girls like, Darnell, I got your little nappy head.
She was Will Smith's wife in Enemy of the State.
She was in Jerry Maguire because she was Cuba Gooding Jr.'s wife.
That's right, man.
Well, yeah, she's been in some stuff, bro.
I'm currently actually Regina King, huge celebrity, been in a lot of stuff, but I'm pen palling lately with probably the biggest name in the Tiger game right now.
What?
Mr. Joe Exotic himself, who is doing time in Fort Worth, Texas, has reached out to Real Laughs, if you can read that there. Mr. Miguel, hello.
Wait a minute.
Radio.
This is it.
Real Laughs.
This is the moment we made it, baby.
When I got a letter from Joe Exotic, first thing I thought was, how am I going to break it to the guys that I'm going solo?
Like, you going Timberlake us? You going Timberlake us?
Well, anyway, I reached out to Joe Exotic through a buddy of mine, Saul. Shout out to Saul, who's been a great friend of mine, and had got a line to Joe Exotic for me. And I wrote a letter, and Saul wrote it to him because I didn't necessarily give a prisoner my address. But I said, Saul, get this.
hey, Miguel, not again.
Because those letters get sad. But I wrote Joe. I wrote Joe through Saul, and I told him, hey, man, I went honestly and said, hey, I'm not like your advocate. I'm not trying to say you're innocent or anything. But have you seen the Tiger King documentary or heard everything about it? What do you feel about it? And is there anything you'd like to share? Because I do think, as Real Laughs is a respected journalistic organization.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, basically, it's us and all the president's men is the two finest things ever done in journalism.
True.
But, you know, we break Watergate over here, or sometimes, you know, fart
jokes. I can guarantee no one on this show is taking any money to say anything.
Yeah. Hey, right now I can guarantee you I will take money to say anything. Keep these lights on, man. But anyway, would you guys mind if I read some of the letter Joe Exotic wrote?
Yeah, baby, kind
of
drop that.
Mind, I insist.
All right.
I'd be offended if you didn't.
It starts out, Miguel, good day. I'm trying to do Joe's voice. Thank you for your support and caring enough to listen to my case and to help be my voice against this injustice. Never said I was going to be a voice, but I did say I would listen. He said, none of this would be happening if the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office was on the up and up in 1997 to 2010. So he's claiming the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office for 13 years was not on the up and up. He said, we had eyewitnesses come forward, and I have been screaming for over a decade that Carol Baskins made the power of attorney. So he says he's been saying that for a decade.
She faked the actual will, right?
He faked it for Don Lewis. She forged his name and filed it months before killing him. If she didn't have the law, politicians, and the USDA in her pocket, she would have been in jail for years ago. Any fool with the internet can follow her donation paper trail to know she pays off. On my YouTube channel, Joe Exotic TV, there is a video called Fraud Notary from me and my secretary flying to Tampa with proof for that the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office did felony notary counts. Carol Baskins did this using donated animal money to buy houses she rented and selling them to other nonprofits for $10. And her mother and daughter were notarizing deeds for her, and she was never criminally charged. Remember, this is Joe Exotic writing this. We don't have the evidence. Look it up yourself.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. His words good enough for me.
Yeah. So I have pleaded to President Trump and Kim K and Cardi B. That's my favorite part. Like, I went to President Trump, Kim Kardashian, and Cardi B, the trifecta of law.
So he went to the biggest ass he knew, which was the president. Then he went to two other big asses.
No. Cardi B. From the biggest to the wettest.
WAP, baby. WAP.
And he says, now I've gone to Senator Marco Rubio. Part is, he goes, maybe I spelt that wrong. I don't have the internet here. He wants them to look at his evidence that the federal agents and the U.S. attorney refused to look at evidence because the truth is not what it was about. And if he can't see the corruption, I will shut the hell up. He says the facts that he has, this is the important part, guys, facts that he has. He said he has facts that Jeff Lowe and Carol Baskins put a $100,000 bounty on him to a man named James to get him out of the way.
Whoa. He said he wasn't going to use my name.
he says he has copies and photos of stolen IDs, credit card numbers, cash, fake leases, mail fraud, places that they all used to stay with the stolen credit card numbers, pictures of their receipts for illegal tiger sales, and he says he has tiger hides that Jeff Lowell kept illegally, as well as evidence that Jeff Lowell was involved in human trafficking. Ooh. And that they were all working together with the FBI agents who were allowing them to get prostitutes and use the money the FBI was giving them to buy drugs. He also has text messages from Jeff telling him to lie under oath, and texts between Jeff and Agent Bryant where he says they were providing Alan Glover with illegal drugs and $200 for prostitutes to help him out. Now, the letter goes on, and I'm going to be reading more on next Tuesday of Real Laughs. But here's the deal. I don't know if any of this is true. Tiger King, thank you so much for writing Joe Exotic. I don't know if you're telling the truth or not, but I do want to give him a chance to tell his side of the story, because we've all seen the story Netflix put out. So if you guys are interested in more, tell us on Real Laughs on the page. You want to hear more about the Tiger King? I'll keep writing him. We'll keep getting information. And any questions you have. You have a Ken's shirt. I love it.
Hey, when is he supposed to get out, Miguel? Do you know when he's supposed to get out?
February 31st, apparently.
I hope he never gets out of jail. He a snitch, bro. Just by reading that, he a snitch, my dude.
Look at old Ken Miller. Old Ken Miller, gated community ass.
I grew up in the hood, B. You ain't supposed to tell on nobody. Yo,
you grew up in the hood, man. Your son already told me, man. You grew up in a place with artisan mayo restaurants. Guys, real quick, I gotta wrap it up. That's tonight's episode of Real Laughs. I will read some more of this letter on the next couple episodes, or next week's Tuesday episode, and let me know if you guys have any more questions. But for me, Ken Miller, Mike Hurley, and killing it on paper, James Yawn, we signing out for Real Laughs.